Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
I just wanted to start off the podcast with my wonderful singing and the fact that that song was used to be really good and now it's ruined for me. In other news,
I never liked that song.
Congratulations to the St. Louis Blues on winning the 2019 Stanley Cup. I know Megan's giving me a look right now that's like, nope, we're not going there already. But I just wanted to start off the podcast by saying that we will start off with Blackhawks stuff first because there, oh boy, there's Blackhawks stuff that we can talk about.
There's finally Blackhawks.
But I just wanted to say, first and foremost, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues. As much as that, like, as a Blackhawks fan, like, I remember the first time, like, in my era, because obviously we were not alive in the 60s, but in 2010, I remember the first time watching my team win the Stanley Cup and thinking it was, like, the coolest and best thing that's ever happened to me, and then it happened to the Cubs, and I was like, there's nothing that could be better than this. Like, there's nothing like watching your team win the championship. And so for that reason alone, despite the fact that they're St. Louis, and as a Chicago fan, we are taught to reject everything St. Louis has to offer. It's a pretty cool feeling. So congrats to them and their fans. First Stanley Cup in their franchise's history, 52 years. And
I'm going to say congrats once and one time, and it's going to be my power play, and that's going to be it.
Man, me and Megan are completely on opposite sides here.
I think part of it is because my stepdad is a Bruins fan. I had like a low key attachment to the Bruins, so like I genuinely wanted them to win, and not so much that I wanted the Blues to lose. That would have been icing on the cake.
You had a team.
Yeah,
I didn't. And
at the end of the day, it should have been the Sharks and the Hurricanes, so we could have had a Sharknado.
Someone in my hockey class, literally on Friday, there's a dude that came in a St. Louis Blues jersey. He's from St. Louis. He lives here now because he works here. And he wore a St. Louis Blues jersey to practice. And then the guy, it was one of my coaches. He was like, my head coach was like, okay, guys, like, how'd we feel? And I was like, I didn't enjoy it. And the other coach was like, dude, I wanted the Sharks and the Canes so it could be Sharknado. And everyone in the class was like, yes.
Fine, I guess. I would have even been happy with the Sharks and the Bruins only because, like, it would have been two old guys going at it.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted Joe Thornton to get his cup. But
so do I, because now I feel like it's kind of like, is he going to sign? Is he going to retire? What's he going to do? And, like, signs are low-key pointing that he's going to retire, and I hate that a lot.
Right. Like, if he would stay, he'd stay in San Jose. He said that, so that's right.
It just was not, the ideal scenario, and I had the worst day of my life on Thursday, too.
Yeah.
Like, after, I woke up in a terrible mood, and, because I went to bed, and I think the score is like 2-1, or 2-0, actually, when I went to bed. But I went to bed, I was like, you know what, I'm done, whatever, I'm going to bed. Whatever happens will happen. And then I woke up and I was like, I know what I'm going to look at. So I'm just going to avoid social media.
Yeah.
And I always watch YouTube videos in the morning before I, you know, like while I'm eating my cereal and getting ready and whatever. And I was like, okay, if I go on YouTube, I'm not going to get spoiled for who won. Because I didn't want to look at it because I had an inkling of who won.
Right.
Didn't care. Because I only had one text message. And like, I even unlocked my phone without looking at it. Like I saw the little red bubbles on everything and I was like, all right, I have one text. I didn't know who it was from. So I'm like, I'm guessing the Bruins didn't win.
Yeah.
But I didn't want confirmation. So I was like, okay, going on YouTube. I don't really do anything hockey related on YouTube. I watch mostly like art videos and like vlogs and that kind of thing. So I was like, this should be fine.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot, and I went to my subscriptions, and I follow Steve Dangle.
Megan, rookie mistake.
The second video in the first row was the St. Louis Blues are Stanley Cup champions. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I proceeded to have literally the worst day of my life.
Well, save it for your power play. Save this for your power play, because I know you're going
to
be.
This has nothing to do with my power play.
Okay, I know, but well, you're talking about the Blues in your power play. So, okay, let's talk about the Blackhawks, because there's a couple things.
Let's talk about somebody we actually like to talk about.
Oh, also before, because we are recording this on Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. I woke up this morning and gave my dad my dad's card. For Father's Day, I gave him like his choice kind of thing. So I gave him like I was like, this card entitles you to, and then it's like a Harry Potter marathon, because we love doing Harry Potter marathons.
Nice.
With ice cream and snacks included. A bike ride, because my dad cycles. He does road bike and mountain bike, and he also does fat tire bikes. So I was like, I'll go on a casual bike ride with you, because I'm not that intense on a bike. And then an activity of his choice, and he wants to go kayaking down the Chicago River. So I think we're going to do that this summer. So
that's very fun.
Yeah. So it's happy Father's Day.
My gift to my father was not that creative. Olivia and I went in on it together, and our card was really funny. It had like a drawing, like a really stupid drawing of like a butt wearing pants. Uh-huh. And it's like hopefully, if something like, hopefully our pain in the butt years are past. And then you open it and it's like, no, it's never going to go away, or something like that. Because my dad loves stupid cards. So we always get him like a really stupid, funny one.
Yeah.
For his birthday, for Father's Day, for Christmas, whatever. It's always got to be stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And then my sister, I guess, a couple weeks ago, like, unearthed this picture of my dad from, like, the early 2000s at one of our neighbors, like, luau party. They used to throw a luau party every single year, and kids weren't allowed, so we never got to go. We just, like, stayed in that, like, house across the street. And my dad's wearing this, like, obnoxious Hawaiian shirt, and my sister sent it in the group chat, like, oh, my God, I was going through old photos on Facebook. Look what I found. And my dad was like, oh, my God, I loved that shirt. I don't know what happened to it, though. Like, we probably, like, donated it or whatever. So my sister and I went in and got him a Hawaiian shirt, like, from Hawaii. Like, it's really nice.
And I saw that on Facebook. I was like, Gary!
I'm pretty sure he wore it out on the boat today. He and Olivia are in Charleston, and they went on the boat in the harbor. So, yes, happy Father's Day. It was really funny. We FaceTimed like last night so I could see his reaction, and he was so excited about it. He like put it on to try it on, because we didn't know what size to get, and when he put it on, he like didn't take it off. He's like, "This is great." Like,
sweet never man,
change. Never change.
Oh, we love
so
him.
Funny, it was amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. So love, yes,
Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there that are listening, and to our fathers especially. Thank you for everything you've done for us. I know that for both of us, like, we're extremely grateful for the fatherly people in our lives, whether they be our actual fathers or, you know, I've had teachers that have become like second dads to me. From high school.
I was gonna say,
stuff,
special shout out to Mark, my stepdad, who's the biggest Bruins fan ever. I know.
Sorry for your loss, Mark.
I was gonna say, I know he was wishing for a better Father's Day present as far as the Bruins go, but we got him a card that had on the front, it had like a guy sitting in a chair, but it was like you could see the back of him, so you saw like the top of his head and the back of the chair. And when you open the card, sorry, my dog just shook next to me. When you open the card, it's got a it's got like a window in the card, so he could still watch TV and pretend like he was reading the card.
Oh, I saw that one.
It's pretty good. And then we got him. That one was kind of boring, but he needed a new belt. So we got him a new belt.
Nice. Love that.
Yeah. It was a very clothing oriented Father's Day for my dad and stepdad.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about the Blackhawks. So from now that the Stanley Cup is over, I've added a couple countdowns on the podcast doc that we're going to be doing. The first one for the Blackhawks, the countdown to convention is 38 days. So that's really exciting. Megan is going to be up here. I think I did the, let me see, because I have a countdown app on my phone. I think I did this one to when the convention starts. Oh, no. This is when Megan is in town for the convention. So 38 days until Megan is physically in Chicago. And then that means that there's 40 days from today until the convention starts. So once Megan's here, we're going to be doing a couple collaboration things together live. It's going to be great.
In person together.
It's going to be
so much fun.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be wild, y'all. Absolutely wild.
Because last time you were here, we hadn't started the podcast. We started it last October. So that'll be really exciting. But a couple other things just to talk about. Chris Cook is back. If any of you remember Chris Cook, he began his career covering the Chicago Blackhawks as their beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune in 2007. So he was there for kind of the dark ages, and then he was here for all three cups. And he actually left the Blackhawks beat after the 2015 Cup to join The Athletic and cover the Washington Capitals for the last few seasons. So we're really excited that he is back on the NHL app, NHL.com, on the Blackhawks page. He already has an article up basically about him, his journey with the Blackhawks to start with, and then leaving and then coming back and all of that stuff and his love for hockey and all that. So that's really exciting. So yay. Happy that Chris Cook is back. He's one of my favorite writers. And it used to be like him, Laz, Dietz, like all like that kind of group. Way back, so that'll be really exciting. But the real news, the real hockey player news, last night was very exciting. Last night, the 4-year anniversary of the Chicago Blackhawks winning their third Stanley Cup of the decade.
I was
on home ice.
I woke up yesterday morning and I was like, oh my god, it's the day. The only reason I even knew that is because I was going through my time hop, and I was actually in, this was pre-Megan actually liking hockey and following it actively, but this is kind of what got it going. I was actually in Chicago for my half-sister's bridal shower, and we ended up leaving on the 15th. Like, we left that afternoon, and I remember going through the airport, and I saw this picture, like, this huge poster of Patrick Kane. They had one for Taves and Hossa, and I think Crawford and Seabrook and Keith and a couple of the other guys. But I remember seeing the Patrick Kane one, and I took a picture of it and sent it to my mom, because at that time, like, I really only knew him. Like, I didn't know much of the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. So I was still pronouncing Taves toes. So I sent a picture of it. So I have that picture on my phone still. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my time hop ones. I was like, oh my god. It was like when Anna in Frozen wakes up and she's like, it's coronation day. That was me yesterday morning.
It's Blackhawks Day. That was the first text
I
got.
Blackhawks Day. I was so excited. And it's funny too, because I was like, as I was getting ready, I was like, oh, I'm going to wear a Blackhawks shirt. And then I guess somewhere in my routine, I forgot that I was going to do that. And I ended up putting on a Vancouver hockey shirt. I don't know. And now I'm wearing a Blackhawks shirt, though. Now I'm wearing my Q Chelsea.
Hey, so I sent you
all
that.
Good. You did send me this one, so it's all good now. But I was so excited yesterday. I can't believe it's been 4 years. That means it's been just about 4 years that I've, like, really been into hockey, which is also insane.
Yeah. But the Blackhawks also made a move yesterday. They have acquired defenseman Olli Maatta from the Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for forward Dominic Cahoon and a 2019 fifth-round pick. So I've included some of Olli Maatta's stats here. He is a left-hand D. He's 6'2", 24 years old. He went 22nd overall in the 2012 draft. He is signed through 2021-22, and his contract is worth just a little bit north of $4 million average annual value. He is a two-time Stanley Cup champ winner, 2016-2017, both with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Last season, he played in 60 games. He had one goal and 13 assists for 14 points, and he was a +9. And in his career, he's been in the league since 2014. He has played 362 games, had 25 goals, 82 assists, 107 points, and he's a +61. So I saw all over Twitter that people weren't very excited about this. I have a different take on it, but
tell everybody how I found out about this.
Me. Like, I literally, I sent it to you on Twitter, and then I was like, because it happened.
So,
and I was like, I texted her because you didn't reply to my tweet, and I was like, or my DM, and I was like, you seeing this? And you're like, what? And I was like, oh, she hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah,
that was like
so,
a couple hours after it was announced.
Yeah, so I did this after the hurricane lost, but I've done it again now, and I still don't. I'm still under this. When I found out on, actually, no, it was Wednesday night before I went to bed. I'm like, you know what? I know what's going to happen, and I know I'm going to be mad about it, so I'm just going to do it. So I deleted the Twitter app from my phone. I've actually kind of liked
okay,
it.
Okay, Steve Dangle.
Look.
So I'm kidding. I'm for that.
So I deleted it, and I was like, you know what? If I need to get on it, I'll get on it on my computer or something, but I just felt like I needed a cleanse from it, and honestly, I still haven't put it back on my phone. It's actually been kind of nice. I know that makes me sound like, I don't know, pretentious, but
no,
I'm not trying.
No,
like, it's
I wish I could do that. I'm addicted.
I think sometimes Twitter for me is too much. Like, sometimes Tumblr bothers me too, but I don't go on Tumblr as often. I'm mostly on Instagram. Instagram's like my fave because, like, yeah, there's some negativity there, but for the most part, I can avoid it.
Yeah.
As long as I don't really go into my explore page, which I don't usually do anyways, I usually avoid that.
Yeah.
So, Instagram's really my, you know, that's my cup of tea.
That's what I get the most time on when I do my weekly report. It's like Instagram, yeah. 15 hours. And I'm like, oh, well, I should take that down.
The nice thing about it too, though, is like having deleted Twitter, and I honestly, as much as I love Tumblr, I might delete Tumblr from my phone. We'll see. It's been like, I mean, I've been able to do things. I sat outside on my patio
free.
Today.
I'm free.
I sat out on my patio today and read a book.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Like,
it's the little things, folks.
It's insane. You know what, though? It is funny, though, because I look at how much time I do spend on my phone. I track, like, my weekly whatever.
Like your report?
Yeah, my weekly report. And it's been going down the past couple weeks, and now I'm sure this week it'll be really down. But I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of nice to just, like, go off the grid. And it's funny because I've always made fun of people who don't have social media at all. And now I'm kind of getting it. Kind of getting it because I really, like, I feel like I check it so much. And there's just not really a need to check it that much. Like, yeah. I guess it's nice for, like, hockey updates because those updates are real time. But I feel like the negativity just, like, straight up isn't worth it.
No.
So we'll see. I'm off it for now. I still have it on. Like, I didn't delete my account or anything. And
you just obviously don't have the app.
Obviously I'll still post to the podcast Twitter.
Right.
But it's just been really nice. Mm-hmm. So we're going on a week. I'm going to see if I can make it. And if I can make it a week and not feel like I'm missing out on anything. I know my sister's mad at me because I know she sent me a gazillion things on Twitter that I have not looked at. But it's just been, it's honest to God, been really nice. And
well, props to you, though, because, like, it's hard
to
do that.
That's what happened last night is you texted me, or, like, are you seeing this? I'm like, oh, no, they traded away somebody. And honestly, my first thought was Brandon Saad because he's the one that everybody's talking about them trading away, which if they do that to him again, I am going to have to march up to Chicago. I'm sorry, Stan. We can't go through this again.
Stan, we're not doing it.
I'm not doing it again because that's not fair.
No.
We're not doing that. You've already traded away, like, every single player, aside from, like, the five guys of the core that are left.
Yeah.
And honestly, you talked about it last year. So, I would just really, Dominic Cahoon, I like him. I was initially upset with it last night, but I think I'm finally coming around to it, I guess. But
right.
And I knew it was going to happen. I knew somebody was going to get traded.
Yeah.
There were a couple names that I probably would have, like, pushed out the door. But not going to name names or not going to call any.
Dang! Okay, sister.
But Cahoon wasn't really one of the ones I was going to, like, throw to the wolves.
Right.
And I thought he had a really good season. And obviously, the Penguins did, too.
Right.
But and obviously, like, Olimata, however you pronounce his name.
Olimata.
Gonna have to learn that one. And it's funny because I impressed my coworkers on Friday they were talking about hockey and other sports and stuff. And one of my coworkers is a huge Blackhawks fan as well. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about, like, she was like, I overheard her saying, like, oh, I don't think I'd be able to name the whole Blackhawks roster. And then she pulled me into the conversation. She's like, but I met Megan could. And I was like,
you're like, hello, it's me.
You challenged me. So I think I got 18 or 19 out of the 23.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So I think I missed like Kampf, Dahlstrom. Dang it. Now I don't even remember who I missed, but I only missed like a couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really funny. And now it's funny because I was telling them like there aren't any names that are particularly hard to pronounce, because right. The whole thing was to pronounce to say the roster without messing up anybody's names.
Yeah.
And there really aren't a whole lot of names that are hard. I mean, Taves is hard if you don't know
right
how to pronounce it. But once you do, it's not like it's a name that trips you up like some of the Finnish names
right.
or some of the Russian names. Yeah. But yeah, so now I'm like, of course, now we get a guy that I can't pronounce his name. It's like Stan heard my conversation.
You're like, oh yeah, no, it's Oli. So he's been known to be on and off the injured reserve. He's had a couple different issues going back a couple of years, but for the most part, like he's a young defenseman who, you know, has a lot of potential. And I mean, he came in fifth in Calder voting in the 13-14 season in his rookie year. He is a two-time Stanley Cup champion. He played big roles as a defenseman on those teams for the Penguins. So that's the thing. I mean, he didn't play, like last year, he only played 60 games. He didn't play the full 82 just because of some injuries. But when he's healthy, he's a great player, I think. And I think if you put him with Joakim Haru, it could be a really good pairing.
Say, I really liked when you texted me that yesterday. That's when I started coming around to him. I'm like, all right, that's, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'll be nice about it. It's just
He's a young guy. Yeah. And so is Joakim Haru. But like, he is a two-time Stanley Cup champion, and he's played since 2014. He's played, obviously, longer than Joakim Haru. I think he could be, and they're both Finnish, which really helps. So I feel like he could be a really good kind of mentoring player for him, both on and off the ice. And, like, it would be nice to have, for Joakim Haru, it would be nice to have another, like, defenseman that's Finnish, that's like him, mm-hmm. you know? Like, someone he can talk in his native language with, like, do, like, Finnish things with, like... Don't they do like with like Sweden, they do that like tea or that coffee time every day. I forget what it's called, but it's like, there's like certain traditions, but like, I think it would make it a little more comfortable for him if Joakim was to make team out of camp too. Yeah. Plus just being a good player. Like if he can stay healthy and do the right things and like that, I don't mind it. And like I said this to you yesterday too, I think it's not a placeholder, but it's a good acquisition until our young defensive prospects are ready to go and ready to be in the lineup, because this is a huge bolster to our defense, I think.
And it's funny because I actually, for some reason, I had it in my mind that he was a forward. So I'm like, why are we getting more forwards? And then I was like, oh, no,
he's a defenseman.
Yeah. I don't know why. For some reason, I don't know why I thought that he was a forward. But once I realized he was a defenseman, I was a little bit more on board. It's kind of weird, though, because I'm in this spot of, like, I really like Dominic Cahoon. I really don't want to unfollow him on Instagram, but I also hate the Penguins, so I don't know what to do. So we'll see. I'm going to let it go through the season a little bit and decide.
Let it ride, baby.
He's so cute. And he's
like Dominic.
Genuinely really talented.
Yeah.
And I still follow a lot of guys who've been traded away from the Blackhawks, obviously, from other teams that I like.
Yeah.
I was a little upset about it, but I think I got over the initial, like, pissed off about it.
I got over
that pretty quickly. I think my emotions were still high thinking that it was Brandon Saad, and then I just, like...
You're like, oh, it's not Brandon Saad.
I not deflected, but put it on to Dominic Cahoon.
Right.
Projected.
There we go. That's a good word.
I projected my emotions onto him, thinking that it was Brandon Saad, but it wasn't.
Yes.
So that's, I think, where I'm coming from. But I'm excited to see what Mata can do, because he's obviously good.
Yeah.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies, like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
when you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
So that was kind of all the Blackhawks news that we have. So let's jump into some NHL news, because there is... there's some buzzy buzz going around. We got some buzzy stuff buzz going on. Let's start off before we get into any trades and buyouts and all that stuff. We've been knowing this. I don't like the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, the Vancouver Canucks, in junction with Adidas Hockey, have come out with their 50th season anniversary jersey, and they're bringing back the black slate jerseys. We will link them. These jerseys,
they're so good.
I would buy one. To be like, they are so good. They're the black with the red and the yellow, and like, oh, they just look so good. Like, I don't like the one. I like the one they have now that's like Vancouver with the little Canucks.
I like that they took away the Vancouver though. I think it updates it a little bit.
I don't like the rectangle one with like just the hockey ring. Stick. Yeah, I don't like that one. I don't mind that one.
That's the jersey. I have a Brock Besser jersey with that logo on it, because I think that was their alternate in. What year did he come into the league? 2017?
16 or 17.
2017, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have that one, and I like it. It's kind of weird to wear, because it kind of does the same thing the Blackhawks logo does. People will know this if you wear jerseys. Sometimes it buckles, and it kind of creates like a weird bump that's not actually there.
Yep.
It's just like there in the fabric. So it kind of, if you're sitting down, it kind of lays weird.
Yeah.
It's what I kind of like about the Hurricanes alternate jersey that I have, like, doesn't do that, because it's such a thin, I mean,
oh,
it's a long logo, but
thing?
But it's thin,
yeah,
so it doesn't, like, it kind of just goes with your body
right
a little bit more, and doesn't really buckle out like some of the bigger logos do. Like, I have a Hurricanes like one with the logo on it, granted,
right.
It's like a men's medium or something. I got it from a friend, but that one kind of buckles.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just feel like there's got to be a better way for the NHL to make their jerseys not do that.
Yeah.
It drives me insane.
Yeah.
Side note, but it drives me insane. But the Vancouver ones look so good. And I feel like...
I'm here for them.
It was probably just the editing, but oh my God, the blues and the greens look so much better.
Yeah.
I think it was just the editing on the photo, but they looked like brighter and like less dark. They looked a little bit more retro, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really like that they... like. I don't hate the Vancouver above the Orca, but I think the Orca on its own looks good, because there's a lot happening with it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, it'd be different if they just had Vancouver going across like the Rangers do, but...
Yeah, that's true.
It would be a really cool jersey.
I'm looking at them right now again. I like, that kind of looks like good, that it's just the Canuck. It makes it like... It makes it like a little more simple, I feel like. Like, I like the way the Vancouver's written. Like, that's the thing I like. But I like those black ones are just so good.
Yeah, those jerseys just look so good. And
just,
I don't know,
French kiss.
I'm just so here for some of the jerseys that the NHL has been putting out the past couple years. Like that Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey.
Oh, so good.
Ooh. I want one. I don't even like the Coyotes.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, they're one of those teams that I kind of forget about sometimes. But, oh my God, those jerseys are so good. And I love the Hurricanes alternate jersey. And they're a bunch that are just so good. I wish the Rangers would bring back the, like, darker navy and, like, kind of sepia and maroon.
Yeah.
Where it says New York instead of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Really love those jerseys. I think those are their alternates, like, in 2015-16.
Yeah.
I think. And they're kind of similar to the ones they wore in the Winter Classic that year, too. So, I don't know. I just feel like the NHL has been killing it with they've been killing it with the
Well, once they switched to Adidas, I think the change to Adidas
because
it's a more of a modern, like, not that Reebok wasn't modern, but I feel like Adidas is very on trend with a lot of things in a lot of their products, not just hockey, but like it just in general. So I feel like it's more geared toward like a younger fan perspective, I feel like, which I really like. And I like
and
the
it,
new
it's funny
ideas
because
and stuff.
I initially hated that they got away with the like V-neck.
Oh, the little like thing. Yeah.
Collar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
what made the Blackhawks look like pilgrims?
Yeah. I think or priests.
Yeah.
I think the only jerseys I have are the ones with the, you know, the V-neck collar. I don't think I've got any of the new ones.
Yeah.
The new ones are also expensive because even the Hurricanes alternate one, even though it is an Adidas one, it does still have the V-neck on it and it still has the NHL like right there. There wasn't, I don't think that jersey in particular would have looked as good with the rounded collar, but I was very, I think you probably remember, I was very upset when they changed to the rounded collars. I just feel like it doesn't, some jerseys it doesn't suit as well as it does other jerseys.
Yeah, yeah. Just it depends on the team, but yeah. But yeah, so that's awesome.
Very excited.
Okay, a couple trades, couple buyouts. The first one is like meh, but I put it on there because it happened. The Tampa Bay Lightning traded goalie Connor Ingram to the Nashville Predators for a 2021 seventh round pick. I didn't even put like numbers or anything on there because I was like, oh, he never played. So that thing happened. So that's that. This is the bigger one. Oh, that's that. Every time I say that, I have to say it like Steve Dangle. The Washington Capitals traded Matt Niskanen to the Philadelphia Flyers for Radko Gudas. 30% of the salary, 30% of Gudas' salary will be retained by Philadelphia, which is just over $1 million, which means that Washington cleared $3.4 million off their cap with this trade and only retaining 70% of Gudas' salary. Just numbers-wise, Matt Niskanen last season, he played 80 games, had 8 goals, 17 assists, and 25 points. He was a minus 3. But he has been in the league. He has been in the league since 2007. He played 5 years in Washington, 4 in Dallas, and then 4 in Pittsburgh for a 12-year career. He has 881 games, 64 goals, 259 assists, and for 323 points, and he's a plus 97 in his career. He is a right D, so I feel like that's a very hard commodity to find. But then going the other way, Radko Gudas, he's been in the league since 2012, 7 years. He's played 4 in Philly and 3 in Tampa Bay. And last season, he played 77 games, had 4 goals, 16 assists, and 20 points, 4-6. He was a plus 6. And then over his career, he's had 416 games, 24 goals, 81 assists for 105 points, and he's a plus 11. He is also a right D. So Radko Gudas, I know, played in, he played at Men's Worlds for the Czech Republic, but he's kind of been on the trading block as of, like, last season. They were talking about him going to the Leafs for a while. Like, he was on the block, so.
I was less surprised by him getting traded and more surprised about Matt Niskanen, but.
Yeah. But they're both just
definitely
not good
an
anymore.
Interesting trade.
Like, they're both just not what they used to be, which is what I've been hearing
that's
around.
Why I was
like,
that's why I was kind of like, that's kind of a weird trade. That's why I was
it's
also
like they're
a little
the same.
Shocked.
Like, what? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah, I was basically like,
I think it's clearing cap though for Washington. That's why they did it, is they needed to clear space.
It's kind of why did you just? Sorry, my dog just groaned at me.
she's not happy with you.
What do you want? But yeah, oh my God, I lost my train of thought. Keep going.
They're basically like the same kind of player. Like,
yeah, they are.
Like, it's, I don't understand why. I mean, literally the only reason is to clear some salary. So Matt Niskanen makes, his cap hit right now is $5.75 million. And then Radko Gudas's cap hit is $3.35 million. And so they're retaining, Philadelphia's retaining about $1 million of that, so it would be $2.35 million. So, I mean, and like I said, Washington cleared $3.4 million on their cap, so I feel like that's like the only reason why they did it. It's, they're very similar players. They're both not what they used to be. They're both not like a top four guy, but like, they might be, like, given their situations, but I just don't see, like, it just kind of happened, and everyone was like, okay, that happened. Like, kind of thing. Yeah. Like, oh, it just happened.
It was just kind of weird. And I knew where I was going to go before my dog interrupted me.
yeah, Annabelle.
It was kind of like the, dang it, Annabelle. it's kind of like the Wayne Simmons one kind of threw me for a loop too. Yeah. I know people were talking about him getting traded and everything, but it was one of those things where like, he's kind of already peaked and he's kind of on the down end of it, which is fine. That's like a natural thing.
Right.
I still like him as a player, but
that's how that works.
I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things where I saw it and I was like, that's
weird, you know, like,
yeah, it's just kind of strange, but I guess, I mean, seen it with like the Nick Schmaltz and Dylan Strome trade. Sometimes just a change of scenery really does help. So
yeah.
Maybe they're hoping that both of those players can kind of bounce back in a different city. But it's always weird when I always think it's kind of weird when teams trade within their conference.
Yes,
but
strange, right? Yeah, let's help the competition. And within. Yeah. Aren't they in the same division? They're both in the Metro.
I was going to say division, but I wasn't exactly sure, but I'm actually pretty sure that
they're both in the Metro.
Thinking about it, Philly's in the Metro, yeah.
Yeah. And then two other things. The Flyers have been busy. Chuck Fletcher's been busy. they have bought out Andrew McDonald. He had a $5 million AAV, which comes out to $30 million. In total through 2019-20. So they bought him out yesterday, or it went through today. But he hasn't played. I mean, he's been in the league since 2009, but he hasn't played. I mean, he played 47 games. Played 47 games last year. He had 0 goals and 9 assists.
I was gonna say he was mostly a healthy scratch for the Flyers. Which,
yes.
I'm not trying to be mean. Anybody who listens that likes the Flyers, if you're out there, like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, that's like, if you're scratched that much on a team like Philly,
yikes.
Yeah. And look, I'm really not trying to be mean. I genuinely like the Flyers some days, but you know, just,
it's tough. It's tough.
It's not good.
Right. So he was bought out, as well as Dion Phaneuf has been bought out by the Los Angeles Kings, which just,
really,
whoa,
surprised me, but I guess like nobody wanted him. That sounds so bad. I hate saying that, but like, I mean, I don't even know how old he is. All I keep seeing though is people are like,
he's 34. He's 34.
I don't think the Leafs want him back.
He's 34. He's 34.
His cap hit is so high for
$7 million AAV, $49 million total through 2020-2021.
Like,
and he had 6 points. He had 1 goal and 5 assists in 67 games for the Kings. For the Kings, if you're getting 6 points in 67 games on a team like the Kings, if you're getting healthy scratched on a team
again,
like the
it's
Kings.
The same thing, yeah. Like, ooh,
yikes.
Not good.
He's not the player he used to be, for
I
sure.
I hate being mean about this because I know some teams are just stuck. Like,
yeah.
Some teams just haven't been good in a while. I mean, obviously the Kings have been good relatively recently. They won their last cup, what, 5 years ago? So it's 14, not like they've been like super duper out of it. Yeah. But at the same time, it's not like they've been really good the past like 2 or 3 mm-hmm. years.
Last 2 years were bad.
Yeah, and I...
For them.
I mean, it sucks, because it sucks for somebody like me, who, as much as I genuinely do like most of the NHL, I think I've said this before, and it's in my Twitter bio and everything, but I think it's in my Instagram bio as well, but I do like most of the NHL, but there are, like, a select number of teams that I don't like mm-hmm. very much, but at the same time, I don't want to turn into like the NBA or the NFL where the same teams win it every year. It's kind of nice to mix it up. Like, that's the only positive I can see.
I like how there's no parity. Right?
Yeah. You know, like, anybody can win. Even a team that was at the bottom of the league.
Looking at you, St. Louis.
Look, I am trying to be nice about this. But, like, I feel like, I don't know. It just, I mean, it sucks for, like, the Phillies and the Kings and the Phillies. That's not what I meant to say. The Flyers.
Yes. I was like, I'm Kings. Just waiting for you to correct that
I think
one.
What I was trying to do is, like, I was trying to say, like, the Phillies, the LAs, the Ottawas.
Like, oh,
I was trying
gotcha.
To go
like
that
the city
route.
Route gotcha.
Route,
gotcha.
And I didn't go that route. So it got confusing and I crossed leagues. Apparently, the Phillies play in the NHL now.
Yes. Bryce Harper is a power forward.
you get the gist of what I'm saying is that, like, I mean, that's honestly why I didn't really want the Bruins and the Sharks, because it would have been kind of predictable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think eventually maybe some of these teams will start figuring stuff out. Maybe not. Maybe the Kings won't see another cup. Who knows? Maybe the Flyers won't. Who knows?
But yeah, so those two things have happened. So if you're a team that really wants a player like Dion Phaneuf, he's a free agent now. So
he is.
He's available.
He's your guy.
He's your guy.
Very expensive, but he's your guy.
So before we go into the Stanley Cup and wrap that conversation up, as we've been talking about it the last couple weeks, let's just do one big free agent signing. Countdown to July 1st is on, 15 days. As you can see, all the trades are already happening leading up to it. But Jordan Eberle, this was on Friday. Jordan Eberle signs a 5-year, $5.5 million AAV contract extension with the New York Islanders. It comes out to be a $27.5 million total value by the end of it. He has a full no-trade clause for years 1 and 2, and then a modified no-trade clause for years 3 and 5, which is comes out to be a 16-team no-trade. So that's over, I mean, that's about half the league. So I really thought that, I genuinely thought that Jordan Eberle was going to re-sign and stay in New York. I mean, after the playoffs that he had,
you can't argue with that. And coming from somebody who follows the Hurricanes and likes the Hurricanes, I genuinely thought in the first round he was the one to be, like, you need to be cautious with
watching
this guy.
Because
he's going to take every inch you give him and go for a mile. Like, I know that's not the exact phrasing of that idiom, but you know what I mean. Give him an inch, he'll take a mile.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, like, he's one of those players that'll just run you into the ground if you're not careful. And
he's a grinder.
Yeah, I genuinely thought he was going to do that, and I honestly still don't really know what happened in that series, but I thought he was fantastic against the Penguins, and I was kind of thinking that he was going to sign with the Islanders as well, just because.
Well, because of that, last year he almost played a full season. He had 78 games played. He had 19 goals, 18 assists for 37 points. So it was an average season. Mm-hmm. But he played really well in the playoffs, which we saw.
I was going to say, and honestly, I feel like
he had 8 games, 4 goals, 5 assists, 9 points.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people underestimate how important playoffs are for players who are free agents or maybe on the trading block.
Can save their career, essentially.
Yeah, it really can. and obviously, sometimes you see it where guys get bolstered in a way they shouldn't have been. But I think Jordan Eberle is one of those players who's going to he's going to continue to get better. And I don't think he's reached his peak performance yet.
No. He's still young. He's 29. He's 29. Yeah. He was a first round pick. He went 22nd overall in the 2008 draft.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I think of Jordan Eberle, because I'm a big Jordan Eberle guy, he's a great winger. He's a right winger. And you know who can use a right winger right now? Edmonton, who traded him.
Interesting how that all works out.
Oh, funny. But yeah, so very well deserved after the season. I mean, he had an okay season by his standards. It clearly wasn't his it wasn't his highest. I mean, his highest was 2011-12 when he had 34 goals, and then he had 42 assists for 76 points. So not his best. I think it might have been his. Let's see. This year was his third lowest for goals. His lowest for assists, and then his second lowest for points. So it wasn't his worst, but it also wasn't his best. But good for him. He avoids having to go to July 1st, and become a free agent and deal with all that stuff.
One last thing in free agency.
Yes.
I meant to put it in the doc. I forgot.
Yes.
That picture that you sent me from Panarin on Instagram was so funny.
It was NHL, ..
It's like small.
You dog.
Free agency news. But Artemi Panarin posted a picture of him on a landline type of phone. Sitting in a big chair, and then the caption was just #NHL .. It was really funny.
Temmie, just, and there's a couple comments that there's a couple comments in, like a couple of them in the comment section that he like talks about. Someone was like, someone comments is like, didn't you congratulate Tarasenko with the Stanley Cup? Even a like didn't put anywhere. And he goes, I wrote to him so much.
Oh. So that's also adorable. Their friendship makes me so happy.
Hey, Panarin was almost a blue, so it could have been worse.
You know what? It really could have, because I would have you know what? I'm not going to say it because I'm going to jinx myself by saying that. I'm just going to stop myself right there. We're just going to not say anything about what I was going to say because I feel like that was going to backfire on me if I said it. So we're just not going to go there. We're just not going to talk about Panarin.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial Series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial Series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
No.
That was it.
Okay. So let's wrap up our Stanley Cup talk that we've been talking about this at nauseam for the last...
I was going to say forever.
last 2 months.
I can't even tell you when the regular season ended because it feels like that long ago.
Right.
I mean, it was technically like 2 months ago, but it feels so much longer than that.
Yes. So...
Where are the Blackhawks? Where are they?
Who are the Blackhawks? I think our last game was like April 6th, right?
Jesus.
Like that, it was that long ago, right?
Yeah, it just feels so long ago. Like and it's funny because as soon as I found out who won, I was like, dang it, I miss hockey.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like as soon as it ended. So I'm looking right now at my Google sheet. I did an NHL playoff tracker. So I basically did from game 60 through 82 at the end of the year and like when teams clinched and like the whole shebang. And then I also had a separate doc that kept everything. I actually didn't update it. That kept everything from the playoffs in there. So I did each team, who they played against, what the outcome of the series was, for each team and all that fun stuff. So I'm looking at it right now. So this season we had 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 clean sweeps. We had the Columbus sweep over Tampa Bay in the first round. We had the New York Islanders sweep over the Pittsburgh Penguins also in the first round. Then we had the Hurricane sweep of the Islanders in the Eastern Conference, the second round. And then we had the Boston sweep of the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference final.
Sweepception.
Yes. So the playoffs started on the 10th of April and ended on the 12th of June. So that was exciting. But we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 series from the start of the playoffs until the end of it go to game 7, the San Jose Sharks, Vegas Golden Knights in round 1, and the Carolina Hurricanes, Washington Capitals, Toronto Maple Leafs, and Boston Bruins also in round 1. In round 2, the San Jose Sharks and the Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues and the Dallas Stars. And then in the Stanley Cup final, the Boston Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. So it was pretty exciting to keep track of it. I'll take a screenshot of it and I'll put a picture up of it. Because it was really fun to keep track of. It was the first time I ever did this. And also, I don't know if any of you are on Tumblr. If you follow, I'm going to bump her right now, or him. I think it's a him. He posts designs. He has his own website. It's mhendersondesign.com. But every year the Stanley Cup tracker. And so online, he fills it in with the little colors as it goes. But my friend Daniela, she has Photoshop. So she actually got copies of it, blew them up, printed them out, and she actually changed where the teams were in like sense of where they started off in round one. And then it went from there. So that was really fun to do because I did the first round in yellow, second round in orange, third round in green, and last round in blue. So you can see like each round, like that it gets getting smaller and smaller and some of the teams not having any of them filled in that got swept in the first round, which is Tampa and Pittsburgh. So it was really cool to follow along that way too. And this was my first playoffs where I was very like, I've been invested in the playoffs in the past, but this is the first one where I think I watched almost every game, which was pretty fun. So I don't know, but as we said before, the St. Louis Blues won the series game seven, a final score of 4-1. It came out with some of the storylines I wanted to talk about. It came out the list of injuries that
the
Boston
players,
Bruins had.
It was the whole team.
It was literally,
honestly, the whole team.
So So here's the full Bruins list. This is from Marissa Ingemi. She's a Bruins and women's hockey reporter for the Boston Herald. This is the full Bruins list from their locker cleanout day. Wagner, arm injury. Grizzlick, concussion. Marchand, abdomen, groin, and hand sprain. DeBrusque, a concussion that goes back to round one. Chara, multiple jaw fractures. They said he split his right side of his jaw completely in half, and he had a couple fractures in the left side of his jaw. Bergeron, groin injury. Pasternak re-aggravated that thumb injury he had earlier in the year. Achari had a broken sternum. I'm not sure if any of you know what a sternum is, but your sternum is your chest bone that basically holds your organs inside of your body. More.
So his organs were just flying around.
Just like, and it holds your ribs. Like it's everything.
Yeah, no, it holds literally everything. And I saw that one and that was the one that shocked me the most. Like, that was like when Bergeron played through a punctured lung.
Yeah.
Was that the 2013?
Yes. It was against the Hawks. Yeah. I remember that.
That's what I thought.
Moore had a shoulder and a humerus. He fractured his humerus, which is basically the bone from your shoulder to your elbow. And he did that versus Tampa Bay at the end of the regular season. He played the entire playoffs with a broken half of his arm. And then Miller broke both of his kneecaps.
Super cash, both of his kneecaps. I don't remember who it was, but when I saw the list, I know one of them. I want to say, oh crap, I don't remember who it was, but somebody's injury happened against the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I can't remember whose it was, but I'm like, it goes back to my power play last week. I just feel like I get it. I genuinely understand that you want to play for your team. You want to put the effort in. I really respect that. But at the same time, my dudes.
Yep.
You're asking. You are just asking to get more hurt. Like, none of those injuries, aside from maybe some of the, like, groin injuries and stuff, like, pulling a muscle isn't, like, the biggest deal, at least in my mind, not as much as, like, breaking something when you're playing a sport.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor. I just feel like maybe a muscle has a smaller recovery time. I don't know. I could be wrong. You probably know better than I do. But I just feel like, even like some of those like groin injuries and stuff, like most of the time when they talk about those, they don't make them sound very serious.
Right.
Again, we don't really know because we're not the players, we're not the medical
staff,
trainers,
yeah. Whatever.
But those are like fine, whatever, play through those. But when you break your sternum, I just feel like you should be in a hospital bed and not on ice.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
That's not hockey culture, though, right? Like hockey culture is like you play through it and like you be a man.
Play until you die.
You be a man, and yeah,
and
all of that.
Oh boy,
yeah.
I saw that, and that was the one that I was like, oh my god.
That like, one, I was like, yikes.
Like that's one of
tough.
The ones where you genuinely are injuring yourself more by playing. Like Chara, not so much. Like if he'd gotten hit again, yeah. But like, you're. He's so tall, like, nothing's going to touch his jaw.
Did you hear what Steve Dangle said? It was, like, Jesse said that on the podcast. He was like, yeah, like, you're Zdeno Chara. Like, nothing's going to be able to hit your jaw like that. Like, nobody's going to come up. And Steve was like, unless you're the St. Louis Blues, because they have a history of jumping into their hits. And so he was like, Jesse's like, Steven.
I have a lot of things to say about their hits because they literally murdered their way to that final. And I hope they're happy with that because
Hey, Boston did the same, though.
I mean, like, and they came out mostly unscathed, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Which, I knew this going into the final. I absolutely knew that they were dirty. And I'm not saying all their hits are dirty. Not all of them. But I just feel like, even in the regular season, they just get away with things. And it drives me absolutely insane. So do the Bruins, and so do some other teams. But the ones the Blues get away with are just astounding to me. Yeah. Like, absolutely astounding. I'm like, the tripping one still makes me the most mad, I think. There's some in the Sharks and the Stars series that made me mad. But the tripping one, it was Bozak on Asiari, I think. That one.
Achari.
Whatever, I can't pronounce.
What did you just call him?
You know
Asiari? I just said his name.
I know you did, and I was trying to remember how you said it, and I was like, well, I'm just going to say it, and
oh,
she's going to laugh at
me. Oh, my God, that's almost as bad as Parayko.
Yeah, look, this is why I'm happy that the Blackhawks players have guys that have easy names.
Oh, Megan. Easy. Oh,
sweetheart. Toes is the hardest one.
Toes. Cool.
Anyways, back on my rant, I was mad because that was just blatant tripping. And the refs were like, there's a judgment call. We can't review that. Like, shut up.
Like, I hate you shut up.
I hate you so much. Shut up. And the thing that makes me mad about this whole playoffs is that I feel like it got to the point early in the playoffs, too, where nobody was talking about the games. People were talking about the bad reffing, and that makes me mad.
Yeah,
that
it wasn't about the hockey.
So upset because I feel like there genuinely were some really good hockey games and some good series, but I feel like all of them were overshadowed by terrible reffing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the NHL needs to do about it because I don't necessarily want like video review of everything because then games are going to last as long as like NFL games do. And the reason I like hockey is because it's not 8 hours long.
Yeah.
Football games aren't that long, but they're like 5 hours and I can't handle that.
Yeah.
And like, I just like let the guys play, but call the right calls. Like that was blatant tripping. I don't understand how to call that not trip. Like that one just still makes me mad. That one's gonna make me mad for a really long time. Again, I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the game, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, I can't even sit here and say that I don't know that I don't think it would because who knows? But, like, it's just stuff that makes me, like, just want to crush something. Like, I could just have an urge to, like, crush.
Dang. She's, wow.
The
refs
make me so mad. Like, during
you're
the
feeling
regular
it, season, dude. You're feeling it, sister.
I really am. Like, during the regular season, whatever. Who cares? The refing's going to be bad. It's fine.
Right.
Whatever. It happens. It makes storylines sometimes fine.
Right.
But the fact that literally every big storyline, especially in the later games, I mean, like I said, it started early in the playoffs, but especially in the later series, like the Blues and the Sharks and then the Blues and the Bruins, I just feel like those were like the only storylines that were coming out of these games. And that's just not.
Not about it, Chief.
That's just not how this should go.
It's not it, Chief.
It's not, that ain't it, Chief.
That ain't it, Chief.
I don't know what Bettman needs to do about the reffing, but he's got to do something because
something's
got to
happen here.
And it was bad. It was bad. That's all I'm going to say about it. It was bad.
Well, moving on to happier times, let's talk about Layla Anderson because she is the MVP of this entire Stanley Cup run.
Honestly,
that
I wish they would have given her the Conn Smythe because I really think she probably deserves it the most.
So we have been following the Layla Anderson story. If you don't know Layla Anderson, basically she is an 11-year-old girl from St. Louis. She has a rare disease. I think it's called HLH. But she's recently been, and I think cancer or something else as well. But she has been, throughout the playoffs, she's been at every home game that the Blues have had. They've invited her out and treated her really well. And they actually flew her to Game 7. Her doctor approved the whole trip. So she actually got to go down on the ice in Boston when they won the Stanley Cup. All of the videos, I cried, I think, for a good 20 minutes, especially the one where she got to see Colton Parayko, who is her favorite player. That was the first player that visited her in the hospital way back, like a year or so ago. Her jersey has 55, or her jean jacket is 55 on the back, and she often says that he's her best friend, and he often talks about her in that way, too. So it's and all of the guys are really great. Like, Pat Maroon is really great with her. I saw her with Bortuzzo, a bunch of the guys, but she saw him on the ice, and he like literally almost crushed her, giving her the biggest hug and brought her over to the Stanley Cup.
It was actually really cute.
And brought her to the Stanley Cup, and she got to kiss the cup. And one of my favorite things too is they're just very like, they're whatever she wants, whatever she needs, they're totally for. Like, they're a video came out of her talking to Pat Maroon, and Pat Maroon came over and he said, like, quote, "Look, princess, we did it." Like, he was, and then he looked up and he looked at the mom and all the people. He was like, "She's on the plane with us, right? Like, she's on the plane home with us, right?" Like, they're very just amazing. And she was at the parade, which was yesterday, Saturday, June 15th. She was at the parade. She got to go on stage and talk and lift the cup and to cheers of millions of people, which is probably the coolest thing that she's ever experienced in her life. So that story, like whether you were a Boston fan or whether you're a St. Louis fan or whether you're neither, that was probably, I feel like everyone was somehow moved and touched by that story.
It kind of reminds me of, do you remember the little girl who had cancer? I know Tarasenko was her favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I think she passed away. I can't remember, though.
Yes.
And I feel bad
that
I can't remember that. But it happened a couple years ago, and Tarasenko was like the best to her. Like,
I remember
she
that.
She was at every home
game. She wore the rainbow stuff all the time.
Yes. And she had like super cute little braids all the time.
Yes.
She was just like the cutest. I can't for the life of me think of her name right now, though.
Neither can
and
I.
That makes me upset. But like, look, like I'm all here for like heartwarming stories like that, because I genuinely think, I don't know, it just helps in, I hate saying this, it sounds cheesy as hell, but like, I don't know, like you see a lot of bad news and it's really easy to be negative and stuff like that. Just as much as I don't like the Blues, I am happy that she got to do all that, because that's, I mean, I have like chills just thinking about it. Like,
it got her through what she's going through.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
That's so important. And that's ultimately, again, I'm sounding like a freaking Hallmark movie and I hate this, but like, ultimately I think that's, you know, at the core of it, like you get into sports initially for the sport, but like once you're in it, like you live for those stories, because those stories make everything so much better. And they make wins like that I wasn't initially happy about, they make that a little bit easier, because I'm like, okay, well, somebody is happy about it. Like, that's somebody who's deserving of it is there. And that's like, that's enough for me. Like, that's, it was really cool to see her with the cup and all the parade stuff. And that's, it's cool. I'm not going to sit here and be mean about that, because that's like a once in a lifetime type of thing. And she's never going to forget that. And they're never going to forget her either. So, that was a good story.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's basically it. Congratulations to St. Louis Blues. Again, Megan will talk about them in their power play. Let's talk about...
Now I feel bad about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to be nice-ish.
Okay. We're going to talk about... Okay, we're actually going to do the power play really soon, but just a couple things. The draft is coming up. That's in 6 days. It's actually coming up on Saturday. So the next time we talk to you, the draft will be over with, and we'll have lots to talk about. But just as a little little preview, I just wanted to go through the picking order, because we all know the Hawks are at third. But through the first round, so we got New Jersey with the first overall pick, the Rangers with the second overall, and then it's the real draft starts with Chicago at 3. Colorado has the 4th overall pick. That's from Ottawa in that Matt Duchene trade. 5th, LA Kings. 6th, Detroit Red Wings. 7th, Buffalo Sabres. 8th, Edmonton Oilers. 9th, Anaheim Ducks. 10th, Vancouver Canucks. 11th, Philadelphia Flyers. 12th, Minnesota Wild. 13th, Florida Panthers. 14th, Arizona Coyotes. 15th, Montreal Canadiens. 16th, Colorado Avalanche. That's their own pick. 17th, Vegas Golden Knights. 18th, Dallas Stars. 19th, Ottawa, which is from Columbus and also in that trade. 20th, New York. That's their second pick. That is from Winnipeg in the Kevin Hayes trade. 21st, Pittsburgh Penguins. 22nd, LA Kings. That is their pick from Toronto for Jake Muzzin. 23rd overall is New York Islanders. 24th, Nashville Predators. 25th, Washington Capitals. 26th, Calgary Flames. 27th, Tampa Bay Lightning. 28th, Carolina Hurricanes. 29th is Anaheim, which is from San Jose and Buffalo. I think that had something to do with the Brandon Montour trade that also was a result of the Eric Karlsson trade. And then 30th, Boston Bruins, 31st, Buffalo Sabres from St. Louis in the Ryan O'Reilly trade. So that is the picking order for the first round. The first round is on Friday, June 21st. I'm not sure what time it starts. We'll get that out and ready and all that stuff.
I want to say it starts at either 7 or 8 Eastern time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it starts earlier than that.
Yeah. So we'll let you know. We'll put it below.
I think it starts at 7 or 8 Eastern, but we'll double check that.
Yes. But yeah, that's the picking order. So the Hawks do go third, so we'll see who they take, whether it's Turcotte or Byron Boehm or whatever his name is. Cole Caulfield, take it, whoever. That'll be fun. Next time we talk to you, we'll have lots of draft stuff to talk to you about. But let's do our power plays. I have never done this before, but I drank so much coffee that I need to go use the restroom. So, Megan, can you entertain the fans for like literally 30 seconds? Yes, you can. Talk about whatever you want. Okay, go.
Oh, geez. This is not my power play. I'm not going to talk about it. But it's been a really fun season. I'm legit really, really tired. Mostly from hockey. So it's nice to get a little bit of a break, and I'm sure some of you feel the same way, especially if you know me and have to put up with my hockey talk all season. So it's probably a nice little reprieve for 2 months before we get started again. But, wanted to thank everybody for listening to us for a full season. That's crazy that we've been doing it this long. We're on episode 35, which is also insane. We're only a handful of months from crossing over that year mark, which is absolutely crazy to me. So again, just, thank you for listening and tuning in and not making fun of what we're saying, because I know sometimes, especially me, sometimes I say stuff and I'm like, interesting.
I'm back. Sorry.
I thank the fans. That's what I was thanking the fans for a full hockey season.
Okay, good. I was like, this is the end of the podcast. We're probably going to be on for max like 5-10 more minutes, but I drank coffee from Starbucks and I was going to explode if I didn't go.
Sometimes you need to just listen to your body. I know hockey players can't do that, but sometimes you just gotta listen.
I literally was like, dude, I can't. I was like, I usually am pretty good.
I thanked our listeners for listening and sticking with us for a year, at least a hockey season year.
Yeah.
It's also crazy. Like legit crazy that we've been doing this for
9 months.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Okay, are you ready for your power play? You're gonna go first.
Yeah, I need to go first because I don't want to end on a bad note.
Okay, you ready?
Let me just preface this before I start. These are a lot of backhanded compliments. And
are you sure,
I'm not trying to be outwardly mean, but I had to get my emotions out somehow. So if it sounds a little scripted, it's because I'm literally reading off my phone because I had to write it out. Otherwise, I wouldn't get everything in that I needed to.
Yeah.
And number two, I tried to be nice about this.
Yeah.
And I genuinely sure, cool, great, they won. But the Blackhawks fan in me couldn't just let that happen.
Nope.
So.
Nope, not today, sir.
Not today, so we're just gonna.
All right, are you ready? Okay, go.
So first, I want to say congratulations to the Blues, which I haven't done before now, but congratulations for winning the Stanley Cup after over 50 years of coming up short. Ryan O'Reilly, congratulations on winning the Conn Smythe Trophy, even though I can't really tell you apart from the rest of the Bachelorette contestant lookalikes on your team. Kudos to Jordan Binnington, who managed to make amazing saves and help his team win, despite continuing to be the biggest jerk in the NHL since Don Cherry. I guess anything would probably be an upgrade in net for the Blues over resident slice of Swiss cheese, Jake Allen. But this was a really good final. I actually, as much as I said earlier that I didn't like it, it was kind of fun. It went decidedly better than the last time the Blues player sent a Bruins player soaring across the ice. I mean, it was genuinely like a good Cinderella story, you know, if Cinderella was actually invited to the ball. Regardless, I feel like the Blues should be proud to bring home a cup so the city can finally, you know, take a drink or, you know, use the cup to put milk in and haphazardly throw their cookies into. But like I said, it's pretty awesome that you get to bring the cup to St. Louis for celebrations, which they did yesterday. Hopefully it's not stolen since, you know, St. Louis is the most dangerous city in the U.S. Speaking of, I'm sure the parade was fun for the win. I definitely hope that the fans enjoyed the wonderfully scenic parade route of the Enterprise Center, Busch Stadium, the Arc, and highways. And wow, what a fun song Gloria is. I'm sure you'll just be jamming to that forever because that's the song you're going to associate with the cup like the Blackhawks do with Chelsea Dagger. But the song, you know, was released in 1982 and the 80s were just so good, peak music time. But maybe they weren't so good for the Blues, who actually lost 6 series in the playoffs to the Blackhawks during that decade. Just, you know, putting that in there. But with all of that said, St. Louis, I have one parting note for you. Definitely enjoy the moment because not everybody can be the Blackhawks who have won 3 cups in 6 years or, you know, Boston whose sports teams win a championship every 100 or so days. So congrats. Look, I worked so hard on that.
Oh my God. If you could see my face during this, I like... Yeah. Just jaw on the floor. I didn't even time you. I just let you go because I was like, I know I'm not going to be cutting this off. So, like, I'm just going
to
let her go.
Kind of short. Look, there were a lot of things that didn't make the cut. I felt like it was going to be a little too harsh for me to put a comparison of them murdering their way to the final, like murdering other teams to the final, comparing that to, like, a new serial killer show on Netflix since they keep cropping up.
Oh my God.
I cut that one out because I felt like that was a little harsh.
Yeah, well.
Now you guys can hear it. But I was trying to be like semi nice, but also.
Good Lord.
And look, I worked very hard on that. I feel like I'm leaving it there. That's.
Dude, I didn't even do a power play.
No, you have to do a power play.
Mine's like very...
No, we can't leave it on that note. That note's terrible. I just had to get it out because I haven't really been able to express my feelings about this season at all. And I feel
she
like
has
that was...
feelings,
the...
folks.
I have feelings. I have so many feelings. Y'all know this, but I have so many feelings. And sometimes I just need to get them out. And I'm not typically the type of person who would... script something up and like make it scathing like that, but I
the tea is hot.
Shout out to Olivia. I've been rewatching Glee, and one of my favorite characters, Santana, is kind of notorious for making speeches like that. Hers are off the top of her head. I mean, obviously they were like written for the character, but like in the show they're off the top of her head and she's just saying these things,
right?
But I thought it would be kind of funny to do like a Santana-esque, you know, ode to the Blues. And that's what I titled my document that has.
Oh my Lord.
All of that is ode to the Blues. But yeah, so that is that for the Blues. Hope they enjoy their.
Oh man. That's just, oh man. All right. Oh man. Okay. I don't know how I'm going to follow that up, but all right.
You got this. I fully believe in you.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So my power play is more of like a, not like political, but it's like a, like a giving of information to you guys. It's more of like an informational power play. So as of recently, as of the last 2 weeks,
I have had the chance to become the podcast manager at Second City Hockey, as well as continuing to be a staff writer. So basically, as a podcast manager, I am in charge of all of the podcasts. So that includes our podcast, Puck and Ride Chicago, and then as well as the Second City Hockey podcast and our Friday Show podcast. So this episode that you're going to be hearing is going to be the first of ours officially on the new podcast schedule network within Second City and SB Nation. It still will be on our iTunes and our Spotify and everything, but it will just also be another location for you to find our show through Second City Hockey. So what's really exciting is what's coming up for the offseason as well as going into the next season. Puck and Right is still going to be on Mondays, every Monday, as it has been for the last however many months. And we're going to be doing the same kind of format that we have. And then also the Second City Hockey podcast will be every Wednesday leading up until free agency. And then from there, it'll be every other Wednesday. And the Friday show will be specifically, and sorry, the Second City Hockey podcast is basically for mainly Blackhawks news. A lot of different stuff will be going on there, like draft talk, free agent talk, when it comes time for training camp talk. And then the Friday show will be guests that we've lined up to interview, to talk to. So our first one will be going out on June 28th. It'll be with Dominic Mersch, who is a player for the University of Wisconsin Badgers hockey team. So that'll be really fun. He's a good family friend of ours. So I'm excited to talk to him about all about hockey and everything like that, growing up in Chicago and being a Hawks fan. So yeah, so that's the future of podcasting for Second City. I'm super excited to see how it's going to grow and how people interact with it and everything. So you could still find us on our iTunes and Spotify, but you're also going to be able to find them through Second City Hockey and our podcast networks there. So I just wanted to give you all a little update on that. Yeah.
A little baby update. We love updates in this house.
Yes. So, yeah, so that's our episode today. That was kind of a lighter one, but I'm sure next week after the draft and then going into free agency, we're going to have lots to talk about this offseason, which I'm pretty excited about. So
me too.
We'll see what Stan does next. But thanks for tuning in this week. We really appreciate it. We can't wait to see what this offseason brings us now that hockey is officially over. The Stanley Cup has been awarded. It's officially the offseason, so we'll see what this offseason brings. And we can't wait to take you along on the ride. So we will talk to you guys after the draft next week. Have a good week.
Bye, guys.